You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, Paul said to the Corinthians, "Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves." It's a good thing to test yourself. It's a good thing to honestly and soberly look in the mirror, in the mirror of God's word, and say, "Am I genuine? Am I true? Do I really and truly have a relationship with Jesus?" We're in a series entitled, "It's All About Jesus." But here's the question. Is it really all about Jesus for you? Are you true or are you false?
He can heal every scar.
This is From His Heart with pastor, teacher, and author, Dr. Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today on the program as we ask that important question, are you true or are you false? Today we're going to take a test that will help examine our faith to see if we are genuine believers. The answer has eternal consequences. This lesson is from Jeff Shreve's 8-message series, It's All About Jesus. And you can listen to any of these messages that you've missed so far when you go online to fromhisheart.org. There, too, you can also download an MP3 of each broadcast. Right now, open your Bible to the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. Here's Pastor Jeff again with a message called True or False.
I remember when I was in college and I would start a new semester, and you know, that first day in class, you would get a syllabus. And in the syllabus, you would always look to see, okay, how many books and what do we got in terms of the requirements for this course and do I have a final, how many tests, how many papers, those kinds of things. And you know, when you get out of school, you quit thinking about tests. But kids who are in school and students in school, they think a lot about tests because everything in school is about tests. And you know, there are different kinds of tests. For a guy that didn't study, true or false was great because you had a 50-50 shot, right? It's either one or the other. Now, for those who did study, true and false sometimes could be tricky because you could look at it and look at it and look at it, and it's like, man, it could be true, it could be false, and you think of all these instances where this might not be right. And I wanted to do a little true or false test today. True or false? You know for certain that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, and He's your personal Lord, and you've been born again, and God the Holy Spirit lives in your heart, true or false? You know, in the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, Paul said to the Corinthians, "Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves." It's a good thing to test yourself. It's a good thing to examine yourself. It's a good thing to honestly and soberly look in the mirror of God's word, and say, am I genuine? Am I true? Do I really and truly have a relationship with Jesus? Did you know that the Bible says, Jesus Himself said that on judgment day, many will say to me on that day, judgment day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will say to them, I will declare to them, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Boy, these are people that were in ministry. They were doing ministry, but they were lost. They were lost. And at the judgment, they're going to find out that they weren't genuine. So much better to test yourself and examine yourself now, because now you can do something about it. At the judgment, you can't do anything about it. It is done. It is over. The judge is going to look at you and say, if you are false, he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We're in a series entitled, It's All About Jesus. But here's the question. Is it really all about Jesus for you? I mean, it's fun to say, well, yeah, it's all about Jesus. But listen, is it really all about Jesus for you? Are you true or are you false? Will you hear one day from the Lord, well done, my good and faithful slave? Or will you hear from the Lord, as the many, Jesus said, are going to hear, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, I never knew you. It's good to examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Now, we're looking at the miracles of John. And John puts, in John chapter 6, he puts two miracles back to back because they happened back to back. And in the chronology of the life of Christ, you had the feeding of the 5,000, which was really more 5,000 men plus women and children, the feeding of the 15 to 20,000. And then right on the heels of that miracle, remember we called that the Super Bowl of miracles because Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they all record the feeding of the 5,000. It's the only miracle that all the gospel writers record. But on the heels of that, then you have the miracle where Jesus walks on the water. And Matthew, Mark, and John talk about that miracle. Luke doesn't talk about it. And in this passage in John chapter 6, and through the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 and the walking on the water, we see the difference between a true disciple and a false disciple. And so I want you to follow along with me as we look at the telltale signs of the true and the false. John chapter 6, I'll begin reading in verse 15. Jesus had performed this great miracle, and the crowd was saying, "This is the prophet that Moses talked about. This is the Messiah." Jesus, therefore, verse 15, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Now, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. And after getting into a boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. They were at Bethsaida, which is on the northeast side, and he was going to have them go across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum, which was on the northwest side. It was about 6.5-7 miles across there. And it says, in the sea, verse 18, and the sea began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. When therefore they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they beheld Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing near to the boat, they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." They were willing, therefore, to receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. What are the telltale signs of a true disciple and of a false disciple? We're going to see that today, and I want you to be able to pinpoint as you examine yourself, as you test yourself to see if you're true or false. I want to give you some characteristics and some signs of what a true disciple looks like and what a false disciple looks like. And in our passage, you have the disciples who were true disciples, except for Judas. 11 of the 12 were true, and they were genuine, and they had genuine faith. And then you had the massive crowd, which is a picture of false disciples. So let's look at the true, first of all. What is the true disciple? What are the characteristics? Number one, a true disciple has a desire to obey the Lord. A desire to obey the Lord. Now, here's the situation. Jesus had just done this Super Bowl of miracles, fed the multitudes with 5 loaves and 2 fish, just created fish and bread in his hands, proved that he was God because he had creative power. Who can do that? No one except God. And the people were freaking out. Wow. They had followed him, John says, because of the signs which he had performed. He had been teaching them all day. He had been healing all day. And then he tops it all off with this kind of miracle. And they were, the scripture says in verse 15, they were intending to take him by force and make him king. Hey, you're Messiah, and we don't like the fact that we're under Roman rule. And listen, we're going to install you as king. And this is going to be awesome because then we can have fish and bread every day. And you're just going to take care of us. And so that's what we're going to do with you. And Jesus knew that that was in their heart. And so what he did was he sent the multitude away and he sent the disciples away and he went up on a mountain to pray. Look at Matthew 14, verse 22. And immediately, right after that miracle, when he knew what was in the hearts of the people to make him king, he immediately made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now think about this for a minute. You're a disciple. You've just experienced this great miracle, And they're in a desolate place, and you have the only boat, and Jesus tells you it's evening time, it's 6 o'clock or beyond, and Jesus says, now you get in the boat, I'm gonna send the multitude away, you get in the boat and you go to the other side, you go from Bethsaida to Capernaum, and I will see you later. Well, you come with us, Jesus, it's dark. It's getting dark, you come with us. No, I'm gonna see you later, there's some things I need to do. What Jesus need to do? He was gonna go up to the mountain and pray. And he sent them away. Now, do you think they wanted to go away, his disciples? Well, no. Well, I wouldn't have wanted that. Would you have wanted that? Yeah, I'd be saying, hey, Jesus, if you're going to go pray, let me go pray with you. You know, let's be together. No, you go. And so the scripture says that he made them get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. He compelled them. He directed them. He guided them. He ordered them. He commanded them, you go over there. And they did it. They did it, even though they probably didn't want to. They did it anyway. And what does that tell you about their hearts? They had a desire to obey their Lord. A true disciple has a desire to obey. And listen, obedience is tested and proven when you disagree and still obey. You disagree with it. You think that's not the right thing to do, Lord, but you're asking me to do it, I'll do it. Do you remember in Luke chapter 5 when Peter had been fishing all night and Jesus was in his boat teaching that next morning, and Peter's messing with the nets as Jesus is teaching the people, and he's been teaching and teaching. He's in the boat because there's so many people, so he had them shove the boat out a little bit from the shore so he could see everybody. And then after he gets through, he says to Peter, he says, cast your nets out in the deep water and get a catch. And Peter says, well, Lord, we've been fishing all night and we've caught nothing. Zero, zip, nada, nothing. Listen, I know about fishing. I've been fishing all my life. You know what you are, Jesus? You are a carpenter by trade, and now you're a preacher. And listen, man, you're a great carpenter. You're a phenomenal preacher. But I'm the fisherman here. I know about fishing. I know there ain't no fish here right now. But what does he say in Luke 5:5? He says, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but at your bidding, I will let down the nets. I don't agree with this, Lord, but because you asked me to, I'll do it. You guys go over to the other side. Lord, we don't want to go over to the other side. We don't want to leave you here. Bethsaida is a desolate place. There's nothing here. And if we take this boat over to the other side, how are you going to get over to the other side? And so we don't want to do this. And he said, go. And they said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's the heart of a true disciple. Even when you don't agree, you do it. See, a true disciple does not say, why, Lord? A true disciple does not say, maybe, Lord. A true disciple says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do you say yes, Lord, when you see the commands of God? Do you say yes, Lord? I had a friend of mine that talked to a lady some time ago about her bitter heart. And he pointed out to her in scripture how the Bible says you cannot maintain a bitter heart and walk with God. That God commands you to forgive. And this woman says, well, I'll think about it. What's up with that? Well, is that the heart of a true disciple? When the commands of God come, well, I'll think about it. No, a true disciple says, yes, Lord. I may not agree with it. I may not know how to do it, but I say yes, Lord. Obedience is tested when you disagree and still obey. And obedience is the proof of genuine love. See, how does God test you to see if you really love him? Through obedience. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me. John 14, verse 21, Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. That's how God tells if you love him. He looks at your life. And listen, if you have disobedience all over your life, just wide open, blatant sin, if you're living in bitterness, you're living in sexual immorality, you know you're living wrongly, and you just say, well, so what? Here, let me just take a sheet and cover that up. Let me do like Achan did in the Old Testament and dig a hole in my tent and bury my sin there and cover it over, and nobody sees and nobody knows. God sees. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. And God sees all that stuff. And God says, hey, you talk a big game. You sing songs about your love for me, but you don't obey me. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, because talk is cheap. And the Pharisees, if you were to have pulled the Pharisees in Jesus' day and asked those guys, hey, do you love God? They would look at you with disdain, and they'd probably spit, and they'd say, well, I'm insulted that you would even ask me that question. Of course I love God. But Jesus said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. The Bible says about the Pharisees that they were lovers of money. The Bible says about the Pharisees that they were lovers of attention, that they were lovers of people oohing and aahing over them. They were lovers of recognition. They would pray long prayers so people would say, oh, look at Rabbi so-and-so. He's such a good prayer. And that's what they loved, and that's what they longed for. Did they love God? No. They loved recognition. They loved money. They loved self. Hey, a true disciple has a desire to obey the Lord. That doesn't mean you always obey, because no one always obeys, but it means that's in your heart. And when you don't obey, you feel grieved in your heart because you disobeyed God, and you desire to be right with God. So test yourself on that. Is there obedience there? Do you want to obey the Lord? Second characteristic, a true disciple has a longing for the presence of the Lord, a longing for his presence. Now look at verses 17 and 18. Verse 16, now when evening came, the disciples went down to the sea. And after getting into a boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. And it had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. And the sea began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. Jesus sent these guys, Jesus knows everything. He sent them out into the sea alone because he was up on the mountain praying. And he's sending them right into the teeth of a strong wind, into a big storm. These guys ventured out at evening time, probably around 6 o'clock. And Jesus is going to come to them at the fourth watch of the night, which was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. They are out on the Sea of Galilee. Now remember, it's only about 7 miles across. And they are out sailing on the Sea of Galilee, and they've been out on the water for over 9 hours. And they've only gone 3 to 4 miles. And Matthew says that they were straining at the oars because the wind was contrary and the storm was coming up. And it was tough sledding. They're in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a big problem, and the storm is threatening to go over their heads and capsize their boat and sink their lives. Maybe you're here today and you say, man, that sounds like my life. I'm right in the middle of a problem. I'm right in the middle of difficulty, and the waves are blowing in my life, and the wind is blowing, and the water's coming in, and I think I'm going under. And where is Jesus? How come he's not here with me? How come he's not answering me? You see, these guys, they had been in a situation like that before in Mark chapter 4, and Jesus was asleep in the boat. Remember, they freaked out then when they were in the storm. They woke Jesus up to say, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? And Jesus, being aroused, he went to the front of the boat and stretched out his hands and he said, hush, be still. And the storm died down immediately. And then Jesus turned and looked at those guys and said, why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith? Man, they were cut to the quick. Where was our faith? We had the Lord in our boat and we were freaking out. But now here's a bigger test, because now they're in a storm, they're in the midst of the sea, and the Lord is not here. He's not in the boat. Hey, I'd love for the Lord to just be in my boat. I don't care if he's asleep. I just want him here. But he's not here. And he can't get here because he's at Bethsaida up on a mountain praying, and we're in the middle of the sea, and there were no more boats for him to come. And then all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. See, he's up on a mountain, he's praying, and in your difficulty, in your problems, remember the Lord sees. The Bible says in this story that Jesus was seeing them. He saw them in their difficulty. He saw them in the trouble. The Lord sees you in your difficulty. He sees you in your trouble. Bible says that he ever lives to make intercession for those who are sanctified. The Lord prays for you and prays for me and prays for those who are his own. And he's in charge of everything. And when you think that you can't take anymore and that you're about to go down, you remember this. The one who prays for you is the one who is in control of everything. And he can wait until the fourth watch of the night to come to you because he can make sure that nothing more happens to you. He's in control of the wind and the waves and the sea. And so here comes Jesus. He comes off the mountain and he begins to walk on the water right across from Bethsaida all the way across to get to Capernaum. And the disciples, as they're rowing the boat, they see Jesus. But they, is that Jesus? I mean, would you expect in the middle of the ocean or in the sea, you're going to see Jesus? No. So they cry out for fear. They thought it was a ghost. Wow, yikes, like a bunch of little girls, they're crying out. These are strong fishermen, but they're scared. You put a guy in a fearful situation, you'll see him cry out. You scare somebody enough and you'll see them do that. I don't tell you to do it, but you if you get in that kind of situation, so they cry out for fear. And Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, it is I." And then you see the heart of a disciple, of a true disciple, in the heart of Peter. And what does he do? It's not recorded in John's gospel. It's recorded in Matthew's gospel. And Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, if it's really you, bid me come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come," and Peter walked on the water to get to Jesus. And you think about this for a moment. What was in the heart of Peter? He wanted his presence more than anything else. It wasn't that, "Lord, calm the storm." It wasn't, "Lord, do a miracle." It's, "Lord, I just want to be with you. Because if I'm with you, then everything's okay." That's the heart of a true disciple. They want the presence of the Lord.
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and the question we have to answer is this. Is this where the attitude of our hearts lie? Wanting the presence of Jesus and not just the things that he can do for us? Well, this really is a great lesson from God's Word that helps us take a long and a hard look at our motivations, or as the Apostle Paul says, to test our faith. Now, maybe you're having your doubts and the devil is exploiting them. He's surely doing that in our world today. Without question, Christianity is under attack in our culture, and the bullseye for the attack is the deity of Jesus Christ. When in fact, Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. While that may not make sense to some, it makes perfect sense to true believers. Pastor Jeff has written a powerful booklet called What to Do When God Doesn't Make Sense, and it'll help fortify your faith and be a great tool for you to give to those who are attacking a God who makes perfect sense. This booklet is our gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. If you can give a gift of $35 or more, we'll send you the booklet and the 8-message CD series that we're airing now called It's All About Jesus. And it includes today's lesson called True or False. To make your gift, call 1-800-985-1530, 1-800-985-1530, or go online to fromhisheart.org and request the booklet When God Doesn't Make Sense and the series It's All About Jesus. Pastor Jeff receives no income from this ministry. He is our chief volunteer. So thanks for being a part of the foundation that allows From His Heart to tell the truth about God's grace every day right here. We are deeply grateful to you. By the way, when you do visit our website, we hope that you'll sign up for Jeff's weekly email encouragement letter. It'll come into your inbox every Friday morning. And also, join the conversation on Facebook. Go to fromhisheart.org for more details. Time's up for now. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting you'll be here with us on Tuesday for part two of this powerful lesson to determine the authenticity of our faith.
We have churches filled with people. They want the blessings of God, but they don't want to obey God. They don't want to bow the knee to God. They just want what God can do for them. That's the mark of a false disciple.
Join us next time for part two of True or False, right here on From His Heart. This program is sponsored by From His Heart Ministries, the listener-supported outreach of Dr. Jeff Shreve, who believes that no matter how badly you may have messed up in life, God still loves you and has a wonderful plan for you. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.